He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this December 5th. Happy Friday to everyone out there listening, whoever's listening, however you're listening. Big thank you to all of you. Hope you're doing well, getting ready for your weekend. We're getting ready. And ready for an early sign-off to the weekend, too. Yes, only a 45-minute show today as we get you set for Lakers and Celtics later on this hour. 3:45 pregame with a 4 p.m. tip-off from Boston. The Lakers with a thrilling win last night over the Toronto Raptors in a buzzer-beating fashion. Rui Hachimura with the three-pointer. We'll get you set for that game later in this little mini edition of Behind the Bench show here. But good to be here. Good to be alongside you. You can listen live and on demand on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website and the ESPN Fresno app. We're also live streaming on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch on our ESPN Fresno platforms. If you want to get in on the show, Lee's Air Hotline is 559-320-1430. It's brought to you by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Also, our Lee's Air weather check sitting at around 52 degrees and sunny today. Just a nice brisk evening and afternoon once again for you all who are heading on out for your weekend activities starting tonight. 57 degrees tomorrow, 59 degrees on Sunday. More looking at those low temps still sitting in the potential 39-degree temperature area, so it gets chilly at night, I'm sure. Good to be here. Good to be alongside the folks here. And like I said, abbreviated show today, so we are going to get right to it with what we've got on the show. And I'm starting off, yes, we're going to do a little bit of a different talk here today. So hopefully you like it. Hopefully you enjoy it. But we're going to start off. Big, major stuff going on with the World Cup. And for some people who may not know, I'm very fond of the World Cup, very fond of international soccer when it comes to that. I think that's kind of where I landed my fandom, and so I allow myself to have that kind of conversation on this show. And today's a big day, as we know, the draw for the World Cup happening this morning, including participation of some sports luminaries in part of that draw. Tom Brady, Shaq, Wayne Gretzky, and Aaron Judge was on a stage awkwardly ripping apart balls and pulling out scripts. And we may do a judge of who did the best at that job in terms of it, because I think outside of the results of this morning, the showcase itself was a fascinating two-hour examination of human behavior. But it's good to be here, joined by a couple guys that are thrilled to talk World Cup soccer action, as you both are donning some jerseys today. So I don't know if you guys just planned on it or if that's just what you do on World Cup draw day. So I got Tanvir and Daniel here with us. Guys, how are we doing on this Friday?
Yeah, doing good. I'm happy with how the draw went for our team. Yes, I did plan on wearing my World Cup jersey regardless of how the draw was going to be. You know, I was hoping that it wasn't going to be too hard for the United States. But yeah, looking good. I was so excited for this day. The FIFA World Cup is probably my favorite tournament in all of sports. And yeah, so this is one of the big days in soccer.
Yeah, what about you, Danny? How are you doing on this Friday?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, with Mexico's draw, I was pretty happy with it. You know, I like we're getting another rematch with South Africa. Uh-huh. And we get that 2010 rematch, so I'm excited. Okay. I definitely do think this is a good group.
Okay, well, let's fill in the people here who are not necessarily aware of what we have ahead of us in terms of the groups. And I wrote down the groups this morning as I watched the show. First of all, I want to talk about the show first because, my goodness, what a drawn-out, very very reminiscent of that kind of style of this meeting could have been an email. kind of situation. But, you know, they had to explain the process for everyone who was very new to the idea of the World Cup, even though it's been around for, you know, almost 100 years now to this point. But outside of that, it was presentations upon presentations with luminaries and all that great stuff. Guys, what do you make of, before we dive into what teams are playing who, what did you make of today's product, this morning's product? Is it peak FIFA blowhardness out there? Is that what we're watching for the 2 hours, 2 hours plus we saw?
I think if you've watched World Cup draws in the past, you will understand that this is a normal case. Yes, they will drag out the actual draw until the very last moment. And, you know, I was basically expecting it. What I didn't expect was it to go an hour 20 minutes for the intro. I had suggested to you guys, you and Jorge, that it would be about an hour, but they even beat my expectations. So, it's always boring before the draw. The draw is what I was really there for. So, that's basically what I think.
What do you think of the television product this morning, Daniel?
Well, to me, I was still asleep when it started. My dad woke me up. But, like, even from what I saw, I'm like...
Same with the rest of the people who were running the damn thing, was they were still asleep as well.
Yeah,
so.
From what I saw, it was still there.
It was fascinating, and yet I couldn't stop looking away while also being understanding that this is just so, you know... the groveling at the highest order in terms of everything like that. But it is ceremonial and you have to do it. And it's the way FIFA operates. And, it just quite simply is one of those things that they want to do to maximize the dollars that they get. Thankfully, the Coca-Cola world rankings allow us to understand where these teams will place and whatever. I'm just saying that tongue in cheek because I can't believe they said Coca-Cola world rankings next to it in front of it. Anyways, first off, you guys have watched draws before. How did our American/Wayne Gretzky Canadian drawers do? Was there anyone you were particularly, who did the best job between the four drawers this morning? Tommy looked like he struggled a little bit at the back end of it. Shaq, I was just afraid he was going to break the dang things. Wayne Gretzky had the time of his life trying to say the name of the countries he was in. Poor Wayne. At the back end of the pot four spot, I felt so bad for him. I thought Aaron did a good job. He had the most intrigue from when he pulled his ball. So what would you say, who did the best job in the draw this morning between the four athletes I named?
Yeah, I'm going to go with either Judge or Brady. I think both of them did fine. As you said, Wayne Gretzky.
Poor Wayne.
Having a hard time saying some of the countries, like saying Curacao.
Curacao. Yeah.
Which is hilarious, but... I mean, he had all the playoff slots, too, so he had to say four names per draw. Yeah, so.
Shout out Czech Republic and North Macedonia were having to get him to say, where's the other one I had? Bosnia and Herzegovina, you know. Like, good luck, Wayne.
You're right.
In terms of that. What did you make of this morning's draw? Did you watch the whole process?
Yeah.
Did you judge your guy, Aaron Judge, noted from Infantino, big soccer fan, apparently.
Big soccer fan.
He said USA's good, and he said Messi, they're good. That's what his analysis was.
Amazing
this morning.
Analysis.
Peak analysis.
He's not wrong.
You know.
Hey, he was just there so he could get paid.
So we're just playing. Saying, hey, it is great to see Aaron Judge. From where he was, great to see him on the World Cup stage and be recognized as one of the great American pillars of our athleticism here. All right, I digress. We did all the preamble stuff to the lead up. Anything else from all that, or should we get to the substance of what this draw looks like?
Let's do it.
Anything else to point out? Okay. Fernando. Who was it? Was the British soccer player
Rio Ferdinand?
Ferdinand. Yeah. I thought he was all right.
Yeah. A tough job.
That's a tough job.
Not really, but I'll give him the leeway.
Yeah, I thought he did a right job. Okay. Should we start from right at the top? Let's go to USA. We live in the United States. Let's talk about USA right now. And USA gets a draw of Australia, Paraguay, and playoff group C, which we'll have to explain to people, which is a new feature. And so in what is going to be happening later on next year before the World Cup, it's a battle to the death, basically, between Slovakia, Kosovo, Turkey, and Romania for them to advance into Group D with the United States, Australia, and Paraguay. Tim, you've been locking in, and what possibilities you could see out of this. You could arguably see that the United States got the weakest crop of European teams out there, I would say, if you really wanted to look at like who could come from the European side, the UEFA side. I would argue that USA got like a really nice draw to stay away from some of the European superpowers out there, at least of the bottom half. But what do you make of the draw for the United States?
Yeah, the interesting part about this is Paraguay on Australia, and the favorite to come out of this playoff is Turkey. So if those three teams are in the group, these are three teams that the United States has played in friendlies over this last year. And having that sort of knowing of what your opponents do and how good they are, it can be a positive and a negative. They can understand your guys' game plan, and we can understand theirs. So it will be a very interesting group. In terms of the group itself, I think it's a very even group. I think that Paraguay provides some really good attackers in Julio and Ciso and others along that front line. Australia is a very defensively sound, very physical team, and I think the United States have shown to play well against both of those teams. They beat Paraguay a month ago, 2-1. They also beat Australia a month ago, 2-1. So those will be two games where the United States will have to get, I think, at least 4 to 6 points out of those two games. And then the final game will be against the UEFA playoff winner. And in terms of the batch, I think you might be right in terms of saying that this could be the weakest batch, but I also think this has the strongest team out of all of the 16 European teams that are remaining. Turkey, I think, has some very good players. Arda Güler comes to mind, and a lot of their attackers are very good. So the United States defense is really going to be tested out. I think this is a group that the U.S. can certainly get out of, and you should expect them to at least get first or second. I think second is passable if mm-hmm. Turkey's in there, but I think they should win.
You would power rank it as even if so, if Turkey makes it, you would power rank it USA. You would power rank it Turkey, USA, or USA, Turkey?
Yeah, they would be one or two to me. I think with the USA being at home and them being a relatively strong home team, I would probably put USA 1, Turkey 2. And then Paraguay, Australia is also very tough. I think Australia's defense is slightly better, so I'd probably go Australia 3 and then Paraguay 4.
What do you make of this group, Daniel?
Well, I like the group. I do. Yeah. I'm not necessarily a USA fan, but I like their group. I like their path.
Yeah.
I think it's a very strong, but not strong, if that makes sense.
Would you argue that you could get a lot of close games in this group? Just a lot of really close games amongst it. It feels like they're between the ceiling and the floor. It's is close, you could argue. In terms of that?
Yeah, for sure. Here's the positive is they got probably the weakest of all the pot two teams in Australia, mm-hmm. but then they got two very strong pot three and four teams. So it really evens out the entire group between the four teams. Ultimately, I think this will be not just a close, but I think this is going to be a very fun group to watch because these are going to be four teams that are quite familiar with each other.
USA will play in LA on June 12th, and that is determined to be the game against Australia, correct?
So June 12th will be the game against Paraguay.
Paraguay.
And then they will play against Australia in Seattle.
On June 19th. Yes. And then on June 25th, they will play whoever comes out of the playoff seed.
The UEFA playoff, yeah.
Yeah, assuming it's Turkey, and that'll be back in L.A. at SoFi Stadium for that. So the United States sitting on the West Coast for the group stage. Which is the fascinating part of this World Cup is it's pretty regionalized when it comes to the schedule. And we'll talk about that when it comes to Mexico here momentarily. But if I say disaster scenario, it's U.S. drawing its first couple and then having to win against Paraguay at the end. That feels like the most disastrous result you could ask for from the United States. But I'm not putting it out of the realm of possibility, judging by the fact that with the expectation USA follows, you could be the cynical person and say this could be a possibility. But as we've heard from other people, this USA squad's playing a little bit better after what has been a disastrous Gold Club Cup result, what, a year ago?
A couple months ago.
And it's just a matter of if there's enough ramp-up period for this team to play what it needs to do when it comes to June.
Yeah, and they'll have some pretty tough friendlies as well. They're going to play Portugal and Germany in the lead-up to this World Cup. But yeah, in terms of like nightmare scenario, I think the lowest amount of points the U.S. would get in this group is probably 2. I think they could draw it. Like, the nightmare scenario would be they draw Paraguay and then Australia and then they lose to Turkey. Mm-hmm. I think the ceiling for this team, I think they get wins against both Paraguay and Australia like they did a month ago, and then they would probably draw against Turkey. I think 7 points to 2 points is what we're looking at.
All right. So, and then is it determined where they would slot? If they win, would they play like the two of another group? Like, how would that work out?
Yeah. So United States would be grouped up with Group G if they were to win.
So that's the Belgium, Iran, Egypt, and New Zealand group.
Yes. And I believe even if they do get second, they should be playing in Group G as well. I'd have to double check that. But those are... In terms of the groups, Group G is probably the weakest of all of the groups. So in terms of round of 32, because that's a new thing this time, you know, usually it's just 32 teams and then it goes into the round of 16. We're going to have an additional game because this is an expanded World Cup with 48 teams. So yeah, the round of 32 groupings and pairings, it will be with probably one of the weaker groups in the World Cup. So
which is beneficial to consider if you think about how far would USA need to go. Or would want to go, or not want to go, but would be able to go. Is there a realistic shot at a quarterfinal bid here for the United States team, judging by if they get through this group, which is completely reasonable to assume, and if they get through at least one of those round of 32 games? Like, this United States team is set up to go far if it does the things it's supposed to do.
Yeah, it depends, obviously, on the opponent. I would say if the United States were to win this group, they would play second place in Group G, and that would be probably Iran or Egypt, and I think that would be a winnable game as well. Mm-hmm. And it's been the point of contention. The round of 16 has been where the United States has been eliminated in the last three World Cups that they've competed in. They did get into the quarterfinals in 2002, but that's, what, 23 years ago at this point. So I think quarterfinals should be the goal for this team, but if I'm talking about realistic expectations, I think round of 16 would probably be the realistic expectations, but I'm gonna predict that they get to the quarterfinals if they were to play Belgium in that round of 16, because I don't think Belgium is that strong of a team compared to the other pot one teams.
Try to look where the 1D would play. That would be in Santa Clara on July 1st,
against the third place team.
If the U.S. wins, it would be the whatever third place team comes out of B, E, F, I, and J. So that'll be interesting. All right, let's look at Mexico real quick, because I know people are interested in that too. Mexico's got South Korea, the Korea Republic, South Africa, and Playoff D group, which is Denmark, Ireland, Czech Republic, North Macedonia. Daniel, the floor is yours. What are our expectations for Mexico with this kind of group?
So expectations for Mexico, I would obviously say win the group. More than likely, with a group like this on paper, looks easy for this Mexico team. Mm-hmm. But as we've seen in the past with this Mexico team, nothing's ever easy, no matter what it is. Like, my expectations is South Africa is a draw. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw. Then we get to Korea. I think that's a win either way. That'll be a competitive matchup no matter what.
Yep.
And then as for the play-in or the playoff team, I think it's going to be Denmark out of all those teams.
I think it will too.
Yeah.
But with that, I want to say it would also be a draw. Like, I think they're three very strong teams. Like, Mexico didn't ease out. Like, it's not.
It feels like what I described to the U.S. It's lower ceiling but higher floor.
Yes.
The room and the margin is much smaller than other groups that we could talk about.
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of these games are very, like, they can go either way.
But you also declared if Mexico doesn't get out of the group. You said something very...
Yeah, I said, if Mexico doesn't top this group, I am shaving my head. I'm going bald.
top this group
is crazy.
I mean, I think they certainly can. You know, being at home, Mexico can certainly top this group. They've played South Africa. This is a throwback to 2010, where South Africa versus Mexico was the opening match of that World Cup, and now we're gonna have South Africa versus Mexico as the opening match of this World Cup. But I think that winning the group is certainly a possibility for Mexico. Maybe not in the form that they've been in over the last couple of months, but I think second place should be the attainable goal here. But they certainly can win this group. But I also think there's that nightmare scenario where they finish fourth because Korea Republic, you know, they have some great wingers, and, you know, Mexico is weak in the fullback department, even though their center backs are really good. South Africa's got a fast pace of gameplay, and then Denmark, they have talent, but I think this is going to be a very fun group to watch as well.
I wonder, the question that's banging around in my head is, I wonder what country would be under, what team would be under more scrutiny if it doesn't get out of its group, United States or Mexico, based off of what they have in front of them. And I think I'd lean slightly to the United States, but Mexico hasn't, what, they haven't missed a round of 16 in quite some time, right?
They actually got grouped in the last World Cup.
Did they get grouped in the last? Okay, yeah. They've been on a little bit of the decline side of things, but I would argue because USA missed they were there the last time, and then they missed before that. And what the expectations are with these United States team and where the world rankings sit, I would argue lean to the United States of more scrutiny if they lose out, but I know you would have your own opinions on it. But who would deserve more scrutiny if they cannot get out of their group?
For me, I'd say Mexico, just because of the fact that I get it that, like, the United States is, they're technically also playing in their own country.
Yeah.
But the problem is, I feel like USA fans aren't as oriented on the West Coast as it is where they would play on the East Coast more. I feel like that's where their fans are more really regionalized. As for Mexico, you're playing your three games in one, your biggest stadium in your country, and the other two at, like, your other biggest stadiums. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's where I'd say their real fans are. Like, you get a lot of Mexico fans off the West Coast, me included, but I feel like the real fans are the ones where they're obviously from. Like, we saw, like, a month ago, like, they played some friendlies in Mexico, and they were receiving scrutiny from their fans because they weren't playing well.
Yeah.
And you don't get that here, like, when they play in the United States. So I feel like it'll definitely be a lot more. Like, if we got grouped, we'll receive more.
You gave a look, Tanvir.
Yeah, I think the pressure is going to be ratcheted up for all three of these teams. But I think in terms of where all three teams sit,
mentioned Canada yet. Right, Canada's group.
In terms of the two teams, I'm sitting here and thinking Mexico, you know, I think they lost to South Korea or drew South Korea.
Me and Jorge were talking about that. I think we drew.
Okay, so this is two teams that the United States has beat over the last month. I do think these are two teams in terms of, like, I think Korea Republic is better than Australia in Asia. I think Paraguay would be better than South Africa, and I think Turkey is better than Denmark. So if you look at the tougher group, I think the United States has it, but regardless of that, I still think the United States, with the talent level that they have and the plan that they've had for the last 8 years, I think it would be diabolically bad if they weren't able to get out of this group. But I think that's the case for both teams.
Yeah. Quickly, we'll know where they're playing all. We know where United States is playing. We know where Mexico's playing. We know where Canada's playing. They're going to determine all the matches and everything like that. So they know when we're going to play matches. We just don't know who and where. That's going to be revealed tomorrow morning. So I'm sure that's going to be another great 2-hour program to watch for the lead up to that.
On YouTube, 9:00.
It's very safe to say Spain has gotten the best draw out of everything. But that's to be fair. If you're the number one ranked team, you should probably get the easiest group, right? If I'm sitting here and I think about, okay, you got the top seed, technically, Spain feels like that. I'm like, all right, they should have gotten the easiest group.
Yeah. I think Spain does have the easiest group. I think Cape Verde, you know, they were a very small country. This is their first World Cup. They are coming in. Saudi Arabia is a kind of middle of the road team in Asia. And I think they will be bunkering down. So Spain's going to have a lot of chances to attack in that one. And then Uruguay, I think, is a team that in past you would say is in the upper echelon of international football. But over the past couple of months, they have been on a terrible tour. Just a tear of terrible matches. They've lost to the United States 5-1, and Uruguay, I feel like their synergy with the players and the coach is not there right now. So I think it, out of all the pot two teams, that would be the one where the situation is the worst. So I think Spain does have the easiest group.
Other groups of interest, and we got a roll here. I like Group I. I think that Group I is just fascinating to me with France, Senegal, Norway, and then the playoff two group, which is Bolivia, Iraq, and Suriname. I'm also interested in Group L with England, Croatia, Panama, and Ghana. I think that's a fascinating group.
Very
for
fun
me,
group for sure.
For me, out of everything. Outside of that, this is going to be an interesting. I look at Group C too with Brazil, Morocco, Scotland, and Haiti. I think is an interesting one. But we're excited. World Cup right around the corner. I know we'll see all the lead up to it. There's going to be the playoffs, of course, and the friendlies, and then we're right around the corner in June. So can't wait. Can't wait. So,
can't wait either.
Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I was just talking. I think Group K is probably my most my favorite group.
Too, yeah.
Portugal, Uzbekistan, which is a very flashy up and coming team. Colombia, which I have touted as probably the best pot two team, and then DR Congo, which I think is a solid African team if they were to make it.
I got with Jamaica and New Caledonia.
Yeah,
my thing is, I think this is. You've heard of the fifth game curse for Mexico?
Sure.
I think this is their best opportunity to break that because there's an extra game.
Yeah.
But
the new expanded World Cup that gives all these other teams a chance. So, yeah. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to lead you up to Lakers, talk about what's coming up this weekend, all that great stuff. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN.
Start spreading the news.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Frank.
I'm leaving today.
I am leaving today after this segment. As we are wrapping up the show right here. Yes, I know. It says 3:30 on the clock. You're checking it. But we got Lakers basketball in about, about 15 minutes. A little under 15 minutes from now. They're going to head out to Boston, take on the Bruins, the Celtics.
Lakers v. Bruins.
Lakers Celtics. All right, we got a lot to do here in this next 10 minutes or so. So a little rapid fire segment for you. What are we watching this weekend, I think, is what we'll go with and hit a little bit of everything in terms of it. We'll combine it with our little, daily spread brought to you by Chukchansi Gold Resort and Casino. If you're trying your luck with your teams, try a look at Chukchansi Gold Resort and Casino. We'll hit Lakers last. I do want to hit one game tonight. We got some conference championships to get to, of course. I want to boycott the Mountain West Championship. Just want to acknowledge it, though. Boise right now, 6-point favorites on the line against UNLV. I guess I'm inclined to root for the Rebels tonight, but I just don't know how Boise's offense can sustain itself against that UNLV offense. And so I would pick UNLV in this one. That's my first What Are We Watching this week. I can imagine you guys, are you on the UNLV side tonight in terms of the Mountain West Championship starting at 5 p.m.?
Do I got to pick a team? I'm not.
You're abstaining?
I feel like I'm abstaining from this.
That's fair.
I want New Mexico.
Okay. Well, New Mexico is not playing.
That's so, the sad part.
That's the worst part.
Not New Mexico versus San Diego State.
Let's hit another spread. What are we watching this weekend? How about Fresno State at Arkansas tomorrow? Fresno State, 18.5-point underdogs at on the road. Is that a fair line? You feel like Fresno State could cover in this line?
I mean, I'm biased, so you should go to Daniel first. Yeah.
You know what? Yes.
I think there is a resurgence at the back end when it's kind of all said and done, and I think the Bulldogs pull it to within 14, and they'll cover.
I think the Arkansas athleticism is just too much. I think they win by 20.
That's fair. What else are we watching this weekend? We also got some whiplashing back to football. You got the SEC championship right here on 1430. Pregame at 12:30. You have it kickoff at 1 o'clock between Bama and Georgia. Georgia, 2.5-point favorites in this one. Where are you guys sitting on that one?
Yeah, I think that Georgia has had a good time in this year. Their only loss is to Alabama, 24-21, and that was at Georgia at Sanford Stadium. So I think that Georgia get their revenge, and I think they win by three.
I agree. I think Georgia gets the revenge. I think it'll be a bit spread out more. I think it'll be a 7-point win, but I think it'll be a game down to the wire.
I think we take out the question of what if Alabama is in this thing. I think Alabama stamps its ticket. I think they do win this weekend and get to 11-2. I will pick the Bama side in terms of it. I've seen some holes in this Georgia team from time to time, and I'm tempted to pick Alabama here to win the SEC. So I don't know how many other people are going with it. It's kind of a coin flip game, but I think I'll roll with the Tide in terms of that. Maybe the most fascinating game in terms of the college playoff, in terms of what could result, Duke, Virginia, anyone in the ACC championship? Virginia, 4-point favorites. What's happening in this one?
Yeah, this is going to be some horrendous football. Woo! That's going to be played in a Bank
only
of
in
America
the ACC.
Stadium.
Only in the ACC, baby. Let's go.
Only in the ACC. I think Virginia is going to shut up everything about these doomsday scenarios with Duke possibly winning. I think Virginia gets it done.
Do you believe in miracles,
you're giving
Phil?
You're going with the
sicker. I think Darian Mensah and the Duke Blue Devils win the ACC tomorrow and cause hell.
And then not make the playoffs.
Yeah, because, my goodness, just another shot in the foot between them and the ACC. Imagine that. I think Virginia gets the job done. I don't see how that goes in a different direction. BYU, Texas Tech. Fascinating game. BYU, 12.5-point underdogs in this football game. Is that a fair line? I don't think that's a fair line.
Well, last time Texas Tech beat BYU, I think it was, 28-6, I believe? Let me double check.
I'll tell the tale of the Patriots beating the Jets 45-3, and then not even 5 weeks later losing in the AFC divisional round to the same New York Jets team by a touchdown. So previous results sometimes matters, and to me sometimes it doesn't. So
I haven't been a believer in BYU this season. I think that them having their only loss to Texas Tech by 22, you said, right? Yeah. So it was 29-7. So I'm going to take Texas Tech, but I do think BYU covers.
I want to take BYU here so bad, but at the same time, I think Texas Tech's just going to roll through them. I don't think it'll be any different than the last game.
I think BYU wins.
Jacob Rodriguez for Heisman.
We'll take it. I'm not even going to entertain the Big Ten championship because I just don't think both teams will care. I know it's not fair to say, but I just don't think it matters at all.
Fair.
So I'm not even going to bother with Indiana and Ohio State. I don't even know if I'll watch it. Say that. Anyway.
Wow. He's taking a stand, folks.
All right, we got 4 minutes here. Lakers basketball coming up here right now. We had to acknowledge LeBron's streak coming to an end, whatever that meant, his double-figure scoring streak that happened. What were you guys doing in 2007? Was it like December 2007? Do you guys remember what you were doing? Daniel, you have no memory of 2007, I would guarantee you.
I was probably being fed from a bottle in 2007. Yeah,
exactly. So
I think I was in elementary school in Arkansas at that time.
Yeah.
So, I'm probably in first grade. No one had to learn how to add.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was probably getting ready to go to Oracle Arena a few weeks later to watch that LeBron James Cavaliers team play against my We Believe Golden State Warriors. One of my seminal memories as a child going to NBA basketball. It's a long streak, and you got to get props to it there. And everyone's going to commend LeBron for passing up the opportunity to continue the streak with a game-winning shot as opposed to giving it to Rory. To be fair, I'd be more fascinated in the analysis of his decision if they were down one in that situation as opposed to tie ball game to give it to Rory, because I think there's a different scenario there when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But outside of that, Lakers finding a way to win without Luka right now. I know Luka's away from the team. I think is he out tonight? Do we know that
I
for
sure? I believe
so,
with the birth of his child.
So the Lakers are treading water right now without Luka. I think this is an interesting game to see if they can kind of get this back-to-back situation through with Boston. Boston's not a terribly difficult team to beat right now, but Boston is they can get you on a bad night if they get you. I think they also are coming off a back-to-back after beating Washington by a billion last night. So fascinating game, but I think the Lakers are being tested in the right way without Luka in case of the scenario where they have to go without a stretch of Luka had a little bit of a 2-week something going on. So I think this is an interesting test to see how the Lakers kind of respond that way.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one guy who has stepped up immensely in the absence of Luka is Austin Reaves. I've been a big Austin Reaves believer for the last couple of years, and he's really come to play these last five games. He has 31, 38, 33, 16, and 44 points. He is playing out of his mind right now. I think he has another big game against the Boston Celtics today.
Yeah. Lakers, have they exceeded your expectation or right at your expectation? Daniel, what do you think?
I think they've exceeded my expectations, to be honest. I think my expectations for the Clippers and the Lakers have completely swapped, like, from my beginning expectations.
Completely swapped would be a right word to say. I don't know if I completely say they swapped. I wasn't expecting the Lakers to be 7-22 or whatever the Clippers are.
Not that, but, like, I didn't think the Lakers are going to be this good early season. So
I still am firm in my opinion that I don't think this version of this Lakers team is winning a finals, but there could be different scenarios there in terms of that. But regardless, we have the game tonight. So, guys, appreciate it coming in on the short side of our show today.
Any excuse to talk World Cup, I'm there.
Of course. Hope you guys have a very good weekend. And we'll be back Monday for, what is Eagles Chargers? That should be the are you going to that game? I know you were thinking about it.
I don't think so.
No? All right. Got it. Well, all right. Guys, appreciate it.
Yep.
Have a good weekend. Have a good weekend, guys. And Lakers Celtics coming up next on 1430.